Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. The Secret is Prayer, and today's titled podcast is called Signs and Wonders. Lauren, do you want to get started?
Yes, Lord God, thank you for this opportunity to learn new things and stretch our understanding. Thank you for guiding us through this time of study and to the Bible. We lay before you all our hopes and fears, and that we have a great outcome. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay, so today we're doing chapters 4, and we're going to try and get through 5 in John. So we're continuing from last week's, where we ended with Jesus and John the Baptist. So chapter 4 starts with the Samaritan women, and we've already talked, you know, quite a bit about the Samaritan woman. So I'm just going to go over it real quick, because she's the woman at the well when Jesus is with his disciples and he's beginning his ministry, and they're walking through. They're headed, I think, to Galilee, and they're walking through. Is it Samaria?
Yes, Samaria. Yeah.
Samaria, yes. And so there's the woman at the well. And so if you haven't heard our talk on the Samaritan woman, then I suggest you go and listen through our earlier podcast. I think it's in our marriage series where we talked about her, right?
Yes, I think so.
Because we had a really good talk on her. So in this one, and you know, and I was reading it again. I think one of the things that I do want to point out, and only because it kind of happened, I kind of experienced the same thing in these last few days, was I didn't pay attention to before, but now I do, is how Jesus approached her and how he made himself approachable by talking to her, sitting there and talking to her, because back then, you know, the Galileans wouldn't talk to the Samaritans because they saw them as, you know, like people that were not good. And a new comment that I read today was that that she probably, because remember when Jesus begins the discussion, he asked her for a drink of water, and she's surprised that he's asking her for a drink of water. And then and one of the comments that I read said, you know, it's most likely that she did give him a drink of water and that he drank it to keep the conversation going, you know. And I'm like, and I can see that, you know, like where, because, you know, Jesus, through his ministry, he's always very composed and humble. It's never in anger or any of that. And I think that that's one of the hardest things when we're dealing with anybody, you know, especially when we're going through hard times, or, you know, mm-hmm. when we're struggling, or when others are struggling, or when we're trying to help others or minister to others, you know.
And it's easy to get frustrated or rattled, or yeah.
Yeah, or, you know, like that can go so many ways. And I think that's one of the key things that, or if not the most important thing to learn from him, you know, not only how Jesus loves, but how he kept his cool through all of it, and how he was always very mm-hmm. calm and very peaceful, because that does take time. That is not an easy skill. And that's learning to control your flesh and your emotions. And you learn that as you mature spiritually. So, okay. So then that's the only new thing, I think, from the Samaritan woman, unless you ladies have anything on it.
No, I think that was a good point. My thing would just be for her. Do you think she was kind of like yelling at him, maybe like, who you think you are? Or do you think she was just kind of stunned? Like, wait a minute, he's talking to me, so she's going to talk to him nicely. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think she was kind of surprised, and I think she was, curious. I think the way he approached her, and by asking her for a glass of water, he was bringing out her curiosity, you yeah. know, and to begin that conversation. Instead of accusing her or blaming her or right. calling her out right away, you know, he did it in a calm way and just to start that conversation.
Yeah, because on Chosen, on the episode, she just kind of like when he first talked to her, to me anyway, she seemed a little like annoyed at him. So that's why I was wondering, like in the true story, like how her demeanor was with him. So you think it was right. more like just curiosity with him and not annoyed? Like,
well, I think she was more like surprised. Like, why are you talking to me? You know, because you're not supposed yeah. to. You Galileans don't talk to us, you know, so why yeah. are you talking to me? And not only that, but the men didn't talk to the women.
Right, because she was, that was another point yeah. I was gonna say, because we have to remember she was there in the afternoon, not when all the women come.
Right.
Well, so and that's because she had been with different men. So right. it might have been also that she thought he was coming on to her, you know, like another man, because she had been with several men.
Yeah.
So the only man that probably talked to her at that time wanted something from her.
Was hitting
true.
On her.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's true.
Didn't think of that. Yeah.
True.
But it is a good story in the Bible if you haven't read it. It's definitely one right. that we can all, in a little way, we all, I think
can relate to her.
To her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And another thing too is where he tells her, if you knew, you know, you would be asking me for water. And I think that's a big point, because we all think we know and we didn't. Right. And unless you read scripture, you're not going to know.
You're not going to know.
Mm-hmm. And also that the water, you know, when he tells her, the water that I'm going to give you will become a well in you. So it's not like the water I'm going to give you, it's going to become a well or a fountain where you're going to be able to offer to somebody else. You know, it's not just, it's going to be an abundance.
Right. So, and it's one thing to listen to the podcast, definitely listen to us. You know, we all have opinions, but it's a different, I think, intake when you actually read it and absorb right. it. And just mm-hmm. picture, I think for us, for me anyway, when we watched Chosen, even my husband said, it's so easy to go back to these gospels and have a visual of like mm-hmm. what that walk might've yes. looked like with him and his right. 12.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, and even like hearing the different point of views, like yours and, mm-hmm. And my sister's, like how we pick up different things, you know, when we hear the story. Yeah. So, yeah. Yep. Okay, so then we'll move on to the next one, and it's the ripened okay. harvest. And I'll just read a little bit from there. Just then his disciples arrived, and they were amazed that he was talking with the woman. Yet no one said, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Then the woman left her water jar, went into town, and told the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They left the town and made their way to him. In the meantime, the disciples kept urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said, I have food to eat that you don't know about. The disciples said to one another, could someone have brought him something to eat? My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus told them, don't you say, there are still 4 more months and then comes the harvest. Listen to what I am telling you. Open your eyes and look at the fields, because they are ready for harvest. So here, this was a new one to me, because I had read this one. I've read John a couple times already, but as I was studying this one, like there was a lot of neat things in this scripture, because for one, where they're telling him to eat something, Rabbi, eat something, you know, and when he starts it, when they get to Samaria, and they tell him, they say that he's weary. So he sits down at the well to rest, and he sends them off to get food. So that shows his, you know, human side, his man side, where he's getting tired. And then, and also, you know, they say the time of the day that it was hot and it was in the afternoon, and then where they tell him to eat something, so because they hadn't eaten nothing, so they're it shows his very how he's still fully man, even though he's Jesus. But he also tells them how, you know, his strength is coming from somewhere else, not from the food. You know, he points that out, that the food that I eat, you don't know about, you know. And I think that that's something as you grow too spiritually, you know, as you mature, that you learn to depend more on God and your strength from God, and not so much the strength of your flesh. And also how he, when he speaks about the harvest, you know, that they are ready for harvest, and that people are, you know, that the people are ready now, that there's people out there now that they're ready to hear, you know, because he's talking about the harvest and he's talking about the people and bringing the people to him. And so he's saying, hey, there's people out there, they're ready, you know. And he's not only sending people to go to harvest the fields, but also calling people to those that are harvesting the fields. So the way it's explained is like he's there's the sower and then there's the reaper, and they're working together. So God's always, and I was like, oh man, that's kind of like with me and you, Yvette, to where, you know, I went through my thing first, but then I was able to help you, and now you're able to help somebody else. So there's always someone sowing and there's always someone reaping, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So he's always calling, like he's always sending and calling, you know, sending people out, but calling people to him too.
So I guess that would be too, where it's always more than two witnesses. So like you, where you're, you know, you're a witness, this is your testimony. Mm-hmm. And so here I come, almost, I don't want to say identical stories, but familiar kind of a journey.
Right.
So I'm like the second witness, so that way when we do talk to someone, we're like,
hey, yes, yeah,
look at these two stories, they line up with,
right, yes. And so and then he goes on, I sent you to reap what you didn't labor for. Others have labored and you have benefited from their labor. And that, and there he's saying, because John and Jesus sowed the seeds, you know, at the beginning, where John went out first and then Jesus started ministering. And then the disciples were able, had the opportunity to reap from that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, man, that's.
That is good.
Mm-hmm. And then. So then I'm going to jump to the Savior of the world. Now, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of what the woman said when she testified. This is the woman at the well. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of what he said, and they told the woman, we no longer believe because of what you said, since we have heard for ourselves and know that this really is the Savior of the world. So I'm reading this and I'm thinking, well, yeah, because we, you know, we hear testimonies, or we hear other people's stories, you know, but until you take that step and you start, you know, trusting God and do, you know, you start your own journey, then, and Jesus starts working in you, and you start seeing those signs, and then you believe yourself, and it's like you no longer need that testimony, because you're now believing, you know, like you're able to believe now, because right, through reading scripture and letting God work in you, then you're you know, reaping that you know, that harvest, because now you're benefiting from that, from coming, right, to Jesus, and from reading scripture, and from repenting, and from all those things. So you have your own testimony now. You don't have to rely on anybody else's testimony.
Right. Right.
So, a Galilean welcome. After 2 days, he left there for Galilee. Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When they entered Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him because they had seen everything he did in Jerusalem during the festival, for they also had gone to the festival. And here where they point out, you know, after 2 days, he left there for Galilee. So he actually ended up staying with the Samaritans for 2 days. And that shows a lot of how Jesus was too, you know, because at, like we said at the time, they didn't speak to them. And yet they stayed there 2 days with them, you know, and how they were welcoming to him and they wanted him there. They wanted him to stay there. But then where he says there is no honor in his own country, because when he arrived to Galilee and that's where he was from, they didn't honor him because the people already knew him there. And when he showed up there, I guess they were like, well, that's just Jesus, you know, that's just Jesus from Galilee. Like we knew, like they knew him and they didn't honor him, you know, because right. maybe they didn't believe in him or I don't know. I mean, I don't know why they, you know, like they're just, well, that's just Jesus. We know him, you know, so they didn't really honor him as they should have. And I think we do that. We did that too, because I was thinking too, I knew of Jesus, you know, you know, as far as I can remember, I knew of Jesus, but was I honoring him? No.
Well, because that's almost like, you know, I think about all them years that I would go to church, uh-huh. I'd see the cross with Jesus on there, but you're right. Did I kneel down and to pray to him, mm-hmm. you know, like to honor him? Now mm-hmm. forget about it. I look at it and I'm just like, so thankful I'm there every Sunday. So it is a difference, you know,
right. So I can see how they, you know, like, yeah, I know Jesus, yeah, you know, but
yep.
And to where now it's like, yeah, you want to honor him, you know, and he should be honored, you know, but I could see where back then I was like, well, yeah, I know God, I know Jesus, but no, I didn't.
No. Or the ones that say, I believe. Yeah, I believe in Jesus.
I believe in God. Right.
But there's right. a difference between, you know, just believing and knowing him. Right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, knowing him and then having a relationship with him, you know.
Yeah.
And okay. And so then the second sign, the healing of the official's son, he went again to Cana of Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. There was a certain royal official whose son was ill at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea into Galilee, he went to him and pleaded with him to come down and heal his son, since he was about to die. Jesus told him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Sir, the official said to him, come down before my boy dies. Go, Jesus told him, your son will live. The man believed what Jesus said to him and departed. So signs and wonders, that's what we named ours, right? Because, or this podcast, because a lot of people depend on signs and wonders, you know, and we shouldn't depend on signs and wonders, because, and a lot of people, even though they see signs and wonders and miracles, they still don't believe, or that belief is short-lived, you know, and they can have no effect on them, and for this official, he goes, Jesus tells them, your son will live. And the man, you know, he goes, while he was still going down, his servants met him saying that his boy was alive. So he doesn't sit there and argue with Jesus, you know, he starts heading home, you know, he starts heading home to see if it's true. And they, you know, his servants meet him halfway and they tell him, your son is alive. He's alive. And he's like, at what time did he, you know, get healed? And they tell him at what time. And it was at the time that Jesus told him, go, your son will live. So he did have to act on that faith, you know, that when Jesus told him, your son will be healed.
But for Jesus to say, you know, your son will be healed, you know, we tend to forget that he sees the heart. So I'm sure he saw in his heart that he truly believed him at that moment, you know?
Right. Right. And because, you know, at this time when Jesus is ministering and he's, you know, he knows that the people are looking for signs and wonders, mm-hmm. you know, and he didn't have to do that, but he did. But I think all of us, like that official, at some point we have to take Jesus for his word, right. you know? at some point, because we read scripture and there's all these promises on there, and we hear, you know, people telling us that, you know, Jesus loves you and Jesus will save you and Jesus will be there. But at some point, we have to take him at his word, because he might do like he did there and, you know, heal you or rescue you right then and there, or it might take some time, but at some point you have to take him at his word and wait on him, you know, and believe in him that whenever he does answer you, it's at the right time.
Right.
Well, and it's usually when we're desperate, because this guy, this man was desperate. Yes. I'm assuming that he had already gone through so many people, doctors at that point. I don't know, you know, there were,
yeah, because he was an official, so he had to been something had that, you know, had with money or with, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And resort. He,
right.
Yeah, because he went looking for Jesus. He heard Jesus was there and he went looking for Jesus.
So he was desperate, and he's like, you know, when Jesus said, go, you know, I've done it. He had nothing left. So it's like, he could have not really believed, but that's all. That was his last hope there with him.
Yeah.
And so he took it at his word, you know, and then turned. Yep.
Yeah, that's so true. But isn't that what we all do?
Yep. Right? That's what I was going to say.
That's when
begging God, when like, you know, my only hope. Like, you know,
well, when it's like at Leia and Star Wars. Point. Yeah.
Thank you, God, you're my only hope.
Yeah, exactly. And again, gosh, we're talking about this, and I this is my second time reading through the Gospels, and it never surprises me. Like, it's always wows me to think, man, we literally relate to every single person here, you know, in some way or another. It's like we're these people going through this with him, and wow,
and that really, like, you know, and that's, I think that's what's humbled me the most, because being able to read that and being able to see how we can relate to all these stories and how Jesus addresses each and every one, and, you know, and how he helped all of them and how he worked with all of them. And so that's where you get to start to know Jesus, you know.
And I don't, and never once does his character change from gospel to gospel. Just like you said, he's humble, but he treats everyone the same. I mean, even down to Judas, right? The one that betrayed him. So,
yeah, and that's what I was going to say. We can relate to Judas too, because we betrayed him. So,
right.
You know, why'd you say?
Yes.
You forget one? I hadn't thought of that either, but that's true.
Yes.
That's true. But that's
remember, we just read about the, you know, we were reading about everybody's an adulteress.
Yeah, so, that's what I'm saying from what you said way. With Jeremiah and Hosea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, I guess in a way, we're all the Judas too.
Yep.
Wow.
All the ones that said, that's know, not a good feeling. And all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even then, you know, like Jesus, he's perfect in all of them. In every situation, he's perfect, you know, and his answer is perfect. And it's just that we can find him in here. And but then also experience him where we are, you know, in the same way that these people did while he was there, then it's just, you know, mind blowing.
Yeah. Wow.
So, okay, I'll move on to chapter 5, the third sign, the healing the sick. After this, a Jewish festival took place, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate. In Jerusalem, there is a pool called Bethesda in Aramaic, which has 5 colonnades. Within these lay a large number of the disabled, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been disabled for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and realized he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to get well?" So here, you know, and here it says that this man is disabled. He had been disabled for 38 years. He's lying by this pool where they wait for miracles to happen. Every time the water bubbles up, that an angel comes and he heals the people, but you have to be able to get in the pool. But he was disabled, so he would never be able to get in the pool. and you think about it, like we were just saying, how we can relate to all the stories. This man was disabled for 38 years. So when I look back at you know, how many years was I disabled, not physically, but spiritually, you know, that's us there too, you know? And we kind of sit there too, waiting for a miracle to happen, right?
And don't we always try to go and reach for that change, but we get stomped on, and then it's like everybody goes and we're left behind.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, man.
And so,
so true.
Jesus tells them, do you want to get well? Because I think he still puts it on you. You know, like it's still
your
choice. You have to make that choice. Do you want to get well? You know, and the man had to say, you know, that I think, you know, it was to just spark that light a little bit, so that to give him that little bit of hope, you know. And and the man says, sir, the disabled man answered, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, someone goes down ahead of me. And Jesus tells him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. Instantly the man got well and picked up his mat and started to walk. And that's us too, because, you know, he tells you in that same way, get well, get up, come on. Yeah. And we have to be willing to get up and go. And then the same that the one that you posted, Yvette, where it was, I wanted to give up, but God told me to get up.
You
know? And so and we have to take that step too towards him, you know, in order to be healed.
So I mean, his hand is outstretched to us. We just have to take it.
Exactly.
And he will help us do the rest. Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
It's really an eye opener though. Even and like you said, like you read it. But we're talking about it, and I feel like my mind is blowing literally, because it's like we literally are relating to these people. And even with him, he waited 38 years to get healed. And it's almost like us, right? Like we want our marriages healed, and it took 20 years to see that start to heal. Or even just us, period, like 43 years for him to say.
True. Because if you go, how far do you want to go? You know, because a lot of that we were blinded and we weren't seeing how broken we were, or how, you know, far we drifted from God, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't realize how lost we were. Yeah. And that started years ago.
Wow.
So, and then after he was healed, after this, Jesus found the same man in the temple and said to him, see, you are well. Do not sin anymore, so that something worse doesn't happen to you. So we have to remember too, like when you do, you know, because a lot of people do come to Jesus and they do have their testimony and they have their miracle, and then, you know, they fall away again into sin. So, and here Jesus tells them, go and sin no more, so something worse does not happen, because, you know, living in sin is worse, and something will worse, you know, it will bring a worse result. So we have to be careful that we don't fall away again. And that's one of the things that I'm constantly always praying for, like, God, please don't ever let me get lost again, you know. And in order for that not to happen, then I have to stay close to him. I have to stay close to him and stay in the word.
Right. Because it is easy, I sometimes, you know, to, and I guess until you mature, like you said, when you spiritually mature, then you'll have more control. Cause like for me, I still feel like those emotions, that flesh, it really does come quick, you know, like the frustration or the anxiety. So it's
yes. Hard. And it takes time, you know, it takes time to mature, because it took me, you know, years, and it didn't feel like years, but it's like anything else, you know, if you're going to go get your degree, or if you're going to run a marathon, or if you're going to, all that takes practice, and dedication, it takes discipline. It takes pain and endurance, you know, but he's there with you every step of the way, and he's making you stronger, and he's working on you, and he's building you up. So it's well worth it, well worth the journey. Okay, so honoring the Father and the Son. Jesus responded to them, "My Father is still working, and I am working also." This is why the Jews began trying all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son likewise does these things. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you will be amazed." And I think, you know, even me and you, I think we can totally relate to, you know, well, even you and I, but that how you will be amazed. I just remember with Yvette, how we kept saying, "Oh my God, like I am so amazed by this and by this and by this," because even through your walk, Yvette, we saw like where he was just coming through like boom, 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 boom. And we were seeing all these, you know, great
signs.
Yeah,
I'm still in it, but I'm yeah.
No, well, yeah. With you too. But it's just because I remember me and Yvette, we like specifically talked about that scripture and how we kept saying how, because the way he was showing himself and you know, with Yvette, her walk was really fast, and it was just one thing after another and after another, and it was just I remember us talking about that.
I know, but I'm still amazed. Like I'm telling you, like right now we're walking through these, and it's just like, oh my gosh, like revelation. Wow. You know, yes. But yep. Yeah, he, and but then, you know, I think the hardest part is like when you do get wowed, right? Like he shows himself, but then when he does, and I remember you saying, Lorena, like sometimes you're like, man, where is he? Like, I don't know. I don't like this. So there is a time where it's like, okay, there's no rainbow in the sky. There's no little.
Well, and like we were saying, signs and wonders, right? Signs and wonders. We can't depend on those, exactly. Because he's gonna woo you with a lot of the signs and wonders. There is gonna be that, but there's gonna be times when there isn't that. So we can't depend just because we don't see those signs and wonders, you know, 24/7 all the time. Don't, you know, depend on that. It doesn't mean he's no longer there, because he's always there, but he does gives us those gifts, you know.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes we will see like a little blessing and I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you for that.
Yes.
Even it could be the tiniest little thing, and I'm just like, wow, thank you, Jesus, because, you know.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be this big sign, as long as you just once you walk with him, you'll know what we're talking about. Like just the little things, you know? And sometimes I think the most little things I get is when us three are having the conversations through text message, something that one of y'all will say, it's like, oh, wow. Okay. That was through God, you know?
Yes. Yes. And it's, and again, some people won't, you know, they won't be able to relate because they won't believe that and they won't change their heart, you know?
Yeah.
But once you, if you do believe, if you do take that step, if you do let him work in you, then it will mean something totally different, you know, and it will change your heart. And it's just, it's beautiful. So here they're, you know, they start getting angry with him because he's saying he's equal to God, but he does say, you know, my Father and I. So he doesn't say that he's explaining to them the unity there. So like the Trinity, my Father and I. So, and just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son also gives life to whom he wants. The Father, in fact, judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, so that all people may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So, and even then, you know, as they were seeing all the work that Jesus was doing and the miracles and the healing and all that stuff, they were still trying to find reasons to, you know, accuse him and to persecute him. And they weren't believing. Life and judgment. Truly, I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, I tell you, an honor is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he has granted to the Son. So to have life in himself, and he has granted him the right to pass judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good things to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked things to the resurrection of condemnation. I can do nothing on my own. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And I'll just keep reading here. Witness to Jesus. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies about me, and I know that the testimony he gives about me is true. You sent messengers to John, and he testifies to the truth. I don't receive human testimony, but I say these things so that you may be saved. John was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. So then he starts talking about, you know, the people, the witnesses. And so he's talking about John. He's talking to John the Baptist. He's talking about Moses. And then he's talking about God too, because in the Old Testament, you know, he told him about that Jesus is also in the Old Testament. But they were willing to believe Moses and believe John the Baptist, but they're not willing to believe Jesus, you know? And so, and I think that that's you know, here we are again, you're seeing all these things and all these signs and all these miracles, and you're not believing in what's it going to take. What's it going to take for you to see or to go through in order to believe, you know? Because even back then, when Jesus was there walking with them, they still wouldn't, you know, believe. So did you ladies have anything else?
Oh, I think again, you know, I'm reading it all over again for these couple of chapters. It's just amazes me how it's like we're doing the walk with him too, which we are, right? In our own journeys, we each have our own walk with him. And so we are witnesses to Jesus. So again, we can relate right here to this one too, you know, because we all have our testimonies with him.
Right. And then, you know, and I think too that people who have believed in him and then fell away and something happened and you got distant again to come back to him, you know, to come back to him again. And, you know, are you seeing new signs? Are you seeing new miracles where he's calling you back to him? Mm-hmm. Because when he mentions Moses, you know, if you look up back at Moses, when Moses was doing all those things too, and God, was doing all those signs for the people that he rescued out of Egypt, mm-hmm. you know, they only believed for a little while, and then they went and they started worshiping the golden calves again, you know? So I think that we can all kind of relate to that, because we, you know, something happens, and then, you know, if we were praying and things got better, but then we fall away, you know, we would fall away. And yeah, you let life get in the way. And that could be, if I look at the past 20 whatever years, I could see where I did that over and over and over. But now it's, you know, where I'm at now and what I know now, and after reading scripture and all that, like I don't ever want to go back to where I was, where it was for a little while and then I'd fall away for a little while.
And it is kind of worrisome too, because you wonder for the ones who did go through all this with Jesus and they know everything, you know, man, I would want to fight harder to not fall away, you know?
Right. Yes.
Because they had firsthand and they know, but I guess, I mean, it happens, you know, but man, that's one thing that, like you, I pray every night, like, please don't let me go back to
where we were. Right. Yeah. And another thing that I think I skipped was about the Sabbath, when God healed that man on the Sabbath, the one by the pool. that I thought was, well, I had, it's the first time that I hear it this way, that, you know, because the Pharisees would give him a hard time because he healed on the, they were trying to find reasons to accuse him. So they got mad because he healed on the Sabbath. And then Jesus tells them, explains to them that my father worked on the Sabbath. So I also am working on the Sabbath. So because God is always working, right? Mm-hmm. God is always working and he doesn't need rest. God created that day of rest for us because we need it. You know, so the Sabbath day is for us to rest and for us to worship him, you know?
Right.
So that was kind of, that was new for me because I was like, well, yeah, that's true. God is always working. You know, he doesn't need any, he doesn't need any rest. So that made total sense to me too. And it's like, you know, where he knows us and that, yeah, we do need rest, you know, because it, when we don't rest and we're, you know, in chaos and we stay in chaos and we lose our focus.
Right.
And then that's how we end up back where we're lost, you know, or we do something, we let our guard down and we do something that pulls us further away from God.
Or we allow someone or something like they did with the golden calf, you know.
Right. To pull it. Yeah.
Come get our attention.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's all I have for today.
Yvette, do you have a scripture for us?
I do. It's the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 14 through 16 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them also and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us. See you next time.